The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Tetzaveh. In Parashas Tetzaveh, Perek Chof Ches Posuk Aleph. V'hato hakrei ve'ilecho es arim apiko, ve'zbon avgitoi. You should bring close to Aaron and his sons. You take B'nai Yisrael l'cha'an eli, from the midst of B'nai Yisrael, in order to serve me. Aaron, Nodav, Abihu, Elozer, V'isoma, B'nai Aaron. Aaron, Nodav, Abihu, Elozer, V'isoma, the children of Aaron. Here the sons of Aaron were separated from the rest of Yisrael, in order to be the Kohanim, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. V'asiso v'gdei kodesh l'aren ochicho l'chovei del tziforis. And you should make for Aaron v'gdei kodesh, clothing, garments, which are sanctified, special garments. L'chovei del tziforis, which shall be an honor for them, and a beauty, a tiferis for them. ואתה תדבר על כל כך מלב אשר מילי סיברו החוכנו ועשו אז ביג די ארן לקד שלך המילי. And you shall speak to all those who have wisdom in their hearts that I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, and they shall participate in making these garments, in order that these garments shall be sanctified. They shall be sanctified to serve me. ואילה בגודים אשר יעשו, and these are the garments which you shall make. Choshen. Choshen was a breastplate, an ephod. This was a gown, a cloak, an il. This was another gown which was worn under the ephod. Some is tashpeit. A third gown, a linen gown, which was worn beneath the other gowns. It's nefes. This was a turban, a hat which was twisted, which was like a turban. The avnet. This was a belt, long belt which was turned around. Also, big day kodesh l'aren achicho l'avon v'lechan eli, and you should make these big day kodesh for Aaron, your brother. The Torah here speaking to Nation and his sons. Ve'im yichu asazor should be made from gold. Satcheles should be made from wool which was dyed blue, like we mentioned last week, which was dyed blue from the blood of a certain creature which was called the chalozim, which concealed itself in the depths of the sea, the mountains, and would come up once every 70 years. That's Argoman. It was made from Argoman, from wood which was dyed blue. Lashoni, wood which was dyed scarlet. That's a sheish in linen. Here are mentioned the breastplate, the first gown, the inner gown, the third gown, the mitznefes, the turban, and the avnit. Here I mentioned six begodim. There's another two mentioned later on in the Sedra. One is the tzitz. Tzitz was a tzitz, it was a golden plate. It's impossible to it was a golden plate which was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. And then there were Nichmasayim trousers that he had. These are the eight begodim of the Kohen Gadol. The Torah also tells us that the Kohen, the regular Kohen, not Aaron, but his sons, they had dalet begodim, they had four begodim, four garments, which were similar, not the same as these, but similar to this. Okay, and Godel had eight. Then the Torah goes into great detail as to exactly how these begodim should be made. Just to make mention of some of the details, first the Torah tells us of the ephod of the gown. And this was made of all of the materials that we mentioned. And all of the thread from the wool would be intertwined one with another, to the point where it was many times it was kof dalet or kof ches. It was 20 24 or 28 twinings. And with this, it would be woven. And on the gown, on the outer gown of the Kohen Gadol, we were commanded to make Shtei Avni Shoham, two stones, which were called Shoham stones. The popular translation was, it was the onyx stone. And Uftitachta Aleim Shmeis Bnei Yisrael, and the names of the Shvatim, names of the 12 tribes, were inscribed on these two stones. Shisha Vishmeisam Aleven Arechos, Shmeisa Shisha Mesorim Aleven Ashenis Kesol Desom. Six on one stone and six on the other. And these were worn on the shoulders of the gown of the Kohen Gadol. Then when it came to the breastplate had the backing and it had gold casing which had rooms for 12 precious stones. Arba Tuvim, there were four rows. And each row there were three stones. And on each stone was a different stone. It had a diamond. The Torah tells us what these stones were. Odin, Pidator, Varekas, Atur, Echot, it had a red stone, it had a diamond, Nefek, Sapir, it had a sapphire, the Yaloin, and so forth. And on each stone was engraved the name of one of the Yud Beis Shvatim. And this, the Kohen Gadol wore on his chest. In the Choshen, the breastplate was called the Choshen HaNishpat. It's called the breastplate of judgment, which we'll see soon as to why. In the breastplate of judgment was the Urim V'Tumim. The Torah tells us in Pasuk Kof Tes, Lamed, Nosata El Choshen HaMishpat Esa Urim V'Esa Tumim. You shall place in the breastplate the Urim and the Tumim. V'Hayu Alev Aaron B'Vayel Lifnei Hashem. It should be on the heart of Aaron when he comes before Hashem into the Beis HaMikdash. What was the Urim V'Tumim? Uksav Shem HaMafresh. This was the writing. This is in chapter 28, Kof Ches, Pasuk Lamed, the 30th Pasuk. What was the Urim V'Tumim? This was the writing of the explicit name of the Almighty. It was written on either a parchment or a block, and it was placed in the folds. Placed in the folds of the breastplate. And through this, the Kohen Gadol was able to affirm particular questions. For example, if there was a question whether Klal Yisrael should go to war or not. So this question was placed before the Sanhedrin, for the Supreme Court of Israel, and the Kohen Gadol, the High Priest. And this was asked for the Urim V'Tumim. And the letters on the breastplate would light up to give specific answers to this. Another purpose the Urim V'Tumim was used for, when it came to dividing the land of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, the division of the land, this was done also through the Urim V'Tumim. So it was called Urim V'Tumim because Urim is from the word Or, it gave light, and Tumim is from the word perfect. It perfected the truth. Answered truthfully questions that Klal Yisrael had to bring to it. Rashi brings that during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, and during the time of the Mishkan, the Kohen was there with the Urim V'Tumim. But during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Urim V'Tumim, it was lost. The Mikdashani Hoya Hachation, Shiev Shili is Kohen Gadol Mechus Begodi, Aval Eis Hashem Lohaye Beseichel. The breastplate he had, but he did not have the Urim V'Tumim. Another garment that the Torah tells us is the Me'il. The Me'il Eifet Kolot Tchilis. The Me'il was the second garment, the middle garment. This was Kolil Tchelis, this was made completely from blue, this bluish wool, the wool which was dyed from the blood of the Chalozim. Vosisa al-shulav, mimeinei Tchelis v'argoman, v'salashoni al-shulav sovi, v'pamoni zohob v'seichem sovi. On the bottom of the ground, there were many little ornaments. There was a golden bell. And next to the golden bell, there was a ball which looked like a rimein, the shape of a pomegranate, which was made from this material. This was made from the blue wool and the purple wool and the scarlet wool. There was a bell and then a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. V'hoya al Aaron l'shoris, and Aaron should wear it when he serves Hashem. V'nishma kele b'vaya l'kedish l'dnei Hashem. And when he comes before Hashem into the Mishkan, so we could hear him come because the bells would ring. The sound of the Me'il would be heard as he was coming into the Bevaya HaKodesh, as he was coming into the sanctuary. The Tzitz, this was the Tzitz Zahav, the golden plate, also had an inscription on it. Ufitachta alav pituchei chesem kodesh l'Hashem. The inscription which was inscribed on the tzitz was Kodesh L'Hashem, sanctified to Hashem. This was the inscription. These are a few of the details that the Torah tells us of the Levonim. These clothing, garments, were not something superficial to the Kohen body. But we find that they were an integral part of the worship of the Kohen. On God or the regular Kohen. The fact is, the Torah tells us that Mechuser Begodim is five Nisan, that he was not allowed to serve without his Begodim. And if he would serve without his Begodim, so then there was a penalty of death that was done with intent. But from heaven, heaven would decree on him a death penalty. So we see that they were an integral part of the service, of the Avodah. Also, Torah tells us that if he would serve Mechuser Begodim without his proper garments, so then the korban, the sacrifice, is not valid. This could disqualify the sacrifice. So we see that this that the Torah commanded, that the Kohen should wear these eight Begodim, and this is the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedut, the regular Kohen should wear the Dalei Begodim, this was something which was an integral part of the whole Avodah Beis HaMikdash, of every of all of the service that went on in the Beis HaMikdash. We also find that on Yom HaKippurim, then only the high priest was allowed to do the Avodah, the service, all during the year. So the service could be done either through the high priest or through the regular Kohen. But when it came to Yom HaKippurim, only the high priest could do the Avodah. And on Yom Kippur, he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the Most Holy of the Holies. But he was not allowed to go the entire year. And there were certain sections of the Avodah, of the worship, which would be done with special clothing. Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, had special clothing. He didn't have the eight, he had four garments. And these four garments were all white, and they were made only of linen. They were not made of the other material, there was no gold in them. The Gemara says a reason for that, because the main purpose of the service of Yom HaKippurim came as a kapora for an atonement for the golden calf, for the sin of the golden calf. And to take an asa sinaga. And since the Aveda came through gold, Klal Yisrael had so much gold and they went and they made themselves a golden calf. So, and to take an asa sinaga, a prosecutor cannot become the defense. Since it was gold that brought him to the Aveira, so gold could not be used in order to bring the atonement. So when he would do the special service for Yom HaKippurim, then he would put on special clothes, four white garments. When he would do the regular daily service, even on Yom Kippur, then he would put on his eight begodim, these eight begodim. And on Yom Kippur, only the Kohen Gadol was allowed to do the Avodah. And he went in even to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Most Holy of Holies, where he was allowed to go only on Yom Kippur and only the Kohen Gadol. We find even an additional dimension in the garments of the Kohen Gadol, which probably will help us give a little more insight into this difficult parsha, this difficult area of the Torah. And this is a Gemara in the Sechtes Vochim, Peches on the base. The Gemara says, "V'amarev anine bash sosim." Anine, the son of Sosim, said, "Lama nismach l'pashas karbonis l'pashas bigde kahuna." We find that the Torah places, writes the details of the garments of the Kohen Gadol right next to the details of the sacrifices. What does one have to do with the other? To tell us that just like the sacrifices brought kapora, brought atonement to Klal Yisrael, the garments also brought atonement. That they were not merely worn for the purpose of the sacrifices, but they themselves brought atonement to Klal Yisrael. What does this mean? Each garment atoned for a particular Aveirot. The inner garment of the Kohen Gadol would atone for the sin of Shvichas Damim, of spilling of blood. Shneimar, as it says, Vayishkatu Sirizim Vayitvulu Es Akseinis Bedam. This the Gemara learns from a pasuk by the brothers of Yosef. When they sold Yosef and they took his cloak, and they dipped it into the blood of a goat. And through this, they wanted to deceive their father. This aksonis was used. The Gemara says, we learn from there that the aksonis of the Kohen Gadol would come and would atone for that aveira and for the aveira of Shlichas Dom, the aveira of the spilling of the blood. Michnasayim, the trousers that he would wear, mechaperes al gilui arayis. This would atone for gilui arayis, for sins of adultery or incest. Mitznefes, the turban, mechaperes al gasi aruach. This would atone al gasi aruach for the sin of haughtiness, gaiva. Why? Because it was someone who was haughty, holds himself high. This was worn at the height, at the top of the Kohen Gadol. That something which is worn high up come and atone for a sin which is caused by someone who holds himself high up. The belt would be Mechapir al. This would atone for Hira Ale, for bad thoughts of the heart. A person has thoughts that he shouldn't be thinking of. For example, he does not have complete trust in the Almighty. When something happens to him, he doubts the justice of it, but he doubts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supremacy. Like it states that we're not allowed to be Maharer Acher Uleisor, we're not allowed to have reservations or second thoughts after the actions of the Almighty. The Avnei, the belt, would be atoned for this. Why? I hate on the Isol, because the belt was worn very high. It was a long belt that was twisted around, and it would be worn very high up, right near the heart. Worn on the heart, it would be mechaper, it would be a kapora on the heart. On Hiru Halev. Cheshen, the breastplate, mechaper al adinim. This would be a kapora for the dinim, for the mishpot, that injustice between man and his fellow man was not executed by the bezdin, by the courts. The kapora, the atonement, would be the cheshen, the mishpot, the breastplate. It states for Sisa cheshen mishpot, this is why it was called cheshen mishpot. Besides the fact that it would give us judgment through the Urim V'Tumim, also it would bring kapora, it would bring forgiveness for the mishpat. Ephod, mechaper al avedis kachor. Ephod, the outer garment, would bring kapora for idolatry. And this the Gemara brings a posik from Hashem. Me'il, the me'il, which was the second garment which was worn. This is the one with the bells. This would be mechapa al loshen hora. This would bring a kapora for loshen hora. Loshen hora is when one speaks badly about another person. Why? Yovei dovish amar abkanina, yovei dovish abakol, v'yechaper al akol. Because since it had a sound, so let something with a sound come and atone for an avira that was through a sound. Tzitz, Tzitz, this was the plate which was worn under the turban on the forehead, with makapela azus ponim. This would bring forgiveness, but azus ponim is chutzpah, audacity, brazenness. Psiva hoyal metzach arem, azus ponim, psiva motz, metzach isha zayim. Torah tells us it should be worn on the forehead of Aaron. The Torah tells us that your brazenness you find in the forehead. The person does not have the busha, does not have the reservation or the shyness or the bashfulness, but he is brazen. This is known as someone who has a brazen forehead. Then the Gemara asks, how can you say that the Me'il came to bring atonement for Loshon Hara? We find that the Ketores, the burning incense, which was brought every day to the inner altar, this would atone for Loshon Hara. So the Gemara answers, there are two types of Lashon Hara. There's a Lashon Hara which a person speaks secretly, and there's a Lashon Hara that a person speaks openly. A Lashon Hara which was spoken openly, and that the Me'il would come and bring Kapora B'Gatonah. Because a Lashon Hara that a person would speak openly, that already had more sound to it. He would speak it in a more public manner. And the Me'il that had the bells on it, this would bring kapora. The Lashon Hara, which would be spoken secretly, this the Ketores would bring kapora. Because the Ketores, the burning incense, was done in a secretive manner. It was always brought only on the inner altar, not on the outer altar, which was in the more inner chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. And on Yom Kippur, the Ketores was brought all the way. The burning incense was brought even further into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when it was brought in a very modest manner. The Torah tells us that no one could be around when it was brought. So this would be an atonement for the Lashon Hara which was spoken secretly. Now, to get somewhat of an insight, an explanation into this Gemara, we try to explain it somewhat. The Baal Nifrag speaks of this in his Kedusha HaGodesh, An Zvochim. And we have eight begotten here. Eight garments. And the Gemara lists eight averes. Three of those averes are Gilarayas, Shivagamim, and Averes Zora. Gilarayas, this is adultery and incense. Incense, Shivagamim, spilling of blood. Averes Zora, idolatry. These three averes are well known. They are classical because the Torah tells us that these are the three most severe averas in the Torah. And the Torah also tells us that on every avera, if a person is confronted with the avera or death, he must do the avera. Somebody forces a person to cook for him on Shabbos, or else he will put him to death. So you're not allowed to allow yourself to be put to death, but you must cook on Shabbos. The Torah said that a person's life takes precedence over the mitzvahs of the Torah. Or as we know that on Shabbos, if someone is very sick, so we can be Machalo Shabbos for them. When it comes to kashrus, it's the same thing. Somebody says somebody's dying in a desert, or he's dying in a city where the only thing he can get to eat is something which is not kosher. So he's allowed to eat something which is not kosher rather than to die. If someone is sick, he needs something from this world. There are three exceptions to this. Three exceptions, Gilarayish, Vitadon, Vavidizor, at least three carnal sins. When it comes to idolatry, or incest and adultery, or killing of someone else, so a person is not allowed to involve himself in these averas, even if it means his own life. It's a question of his own life, or one of these three averas, he's obligated to give his life. That's why these three averes are very well known in the Torah. These are the three exceptions to the general rule that the Torah was given for life and after death. The Shmiras HaMitzvos, the guardian of the mitzvahs. The reason why these three averes, one is commanded to give his life one, is because the person is made up of three parts. We find that the person has his body, physical body. Find that the person has a nefesh. This is a motivation of life. For example, once the nefesh leaves him, the life leaves him, so then he is still. The physical body, which was made from the earth, was given powers of life. His life gives him powers to move, gives him powers to do, to act. This is what is known as the nefesh ha'machaya. And the third division is that he was given a seichel, he was given intellectual powers, mentality. These are the three chelkei odin. All of the mitzvahs and all of the averes also correlate, are mechuvim, correlate to these three sections of the person. There are mitzvahs that he fulfills with his body, physical body. There are mitzvahs he fulfills with his nefesh. And there are mitzvahs that he fulfills with his intellect. And the same thing when it comes to the averes. The three averes that we mentioned, averes ora, idolatry. This is the avera, this is the carnal avera of the intellect. A person who becomes an idolater or an atheist, what is he doing? He is believing in other gods. Even though he might serve other gods with his body or with his life powers, but the motivation of this is through his mentality, through his intellect. It's an intellectual avera. It's the theology, it's the philosophy, whatever it might be that drives him to this. And we find that the Gemara says that by every avera, ein tzaref machshava l'maaseh. When it comes to all of the averes, when it comes to all of the averes of the Torah, the Torah does only exacts from the person what he actually did. Not what he thought to do. But when it comes to idolatry, then even on the machshava, even on the thought, also, the Torah exacts from the person. So this is the avera of the intellect. And this is the most extreme avera of the intellect. When it comes to the nefesh, this is the life of the person. The most extreme avera is shvichas vayim. Taking of someone's life. Firstly, he's taking that life away from the other person. Secondly, the source of this transaction is from the nefesh ha'odim. Because why does a person kill? A person kills either because of hatred or because of jealousy. There is an intense emotional motivation to kill. Nobody kills if he's not emotionally involved with it. His emotions are driving him to this. Great jealousy, or great hatred, or great anger. The emotions comes from the nefesh order. It does not come from the physical being of the person. It comes from the nefesh order. So, shvichas damim kilim. This is the extreme avera of the nefesh form. Giloy arayis, when a person sinks to the low ebbs of physical immorality, such as incest or adultery, this has its source in the physical element of man, the guf. And this we have many examples for. example, when Klal Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. So the Torah writes, tells us that which women we are forbidden to marry. It says a person is not allowed to marry the close kinship, sister, a mother, a daughter, or other such unions. So then the Torah says, Ki hei mais eretz Mitzrayim. These were the acts of Egypt. And I have taken you out of Egypt in order that you should separate yourself from such a level, from such a dimension. And in Egypt, Egypt was called the Sorem Sarchamayim. They have the flesh of donkeys, the Zerek and Zerasusim. And their seed is like the seed of horses. Egypt was a nation which had fallen into the physical depths of impurity and immorality. They were a nation that could not uplift themselves from this. And they were full of such acts. This was common. Whatever the Torah tells us in these parashas not to do, it says because this was common in Mitzrayim and Egypt. That they should live together with their sisters and their daughters and their mothers, or with animals, or homosexuality. Torah writes, this is common, this was common in Egypt. And Klal Yisrael was Kodesh, they were sanctified, they were the opposite to this. And we also find that the Gemara in Masechet Seita tells us that an adulteress, when she brought her sacrifice, the sacrifice was that of Sa'orim, of Bari. Even though all the time such sacrifices, meal offerings that came in the Beis HaMikdash, they were chitin, they were wheat. So the Gemara asks, why was served Bari? Kivan she'osa so, Maisel Behema. So af hevio Maisel Behema. Because wheat is the mainstay of the food of man. Barley is the mainstay of the food of animals. And an adulteress, this is an act of an animal. It's not an act of the high level of a person, but an act of an animal. To be unfaithful, disloyal, this is an act of an animal. Therefore she would bring the barley, which was the food of the animal. So again we see that Gilui Arayos, this Aveira, this comes from the physical man. So man is made up of three parts, three divisions. Each division, he was given mitzvahs to sanctify it with, to uplift it. And if these mitzvahs are not kept, to the contrary, the Aveiras of these classes, this brings a destruction to that part of man. Now every Aveira does not destroy man to such a great degree. So therefore if it's a case of doing an Aveira or maintaining his life, so the Torah said, better maintain your life. But when it came to the extremities of these mitzvahs, in these Aveiras, when it came to the actual idolatry or the actual act of murder or the actual act of incest and adultery, there the Torah said this will completely demolish that part of man. So what will you gain by doing the Aveira and saving your life? It is better that you should give your life than do one of these Aveiras. This is why that on these three Aveiras the mitzvah is Yavor Be'al Yehor Be'al Yavor, which you must give your life rather than transgress. So these are the three cardinal Aveiras. Now there's a fourth Aveira. The Gemara in Erechin tells us, the Gemara in Erechin, I believe it's a new Dalit, it says, well, Amasapre Loshon Hora, someone who speaks Loshon Hora, Magdil Aveinis Keneged Shvichadomim Gilarais Vavedizor, someone who constantly speaks Loshon Hora. Loshon Hora means when he talks badly about other people. He says that Reuven, he assassinates the character of people. He says Reuven is not such a good fellow because he did such and such a thing. He once stole some money. He is not a very talented fellow. He comes from such a family. I knew him when he was this and this and that and so forth. To constantly criticize other people and assassinate their character to others, so not to him, but to others. This is Mesapel Loshon Hara. Someone who is a Baal Loshon Hara. So the Gemara tells us some very fascinating concepts. Even though this is an Avera that we look at very lightly, the Gemara tells us that this is more severe than even the other three. Sapel Loshon Hara is Magil Averis Keneged Shleish Averis. It's equal to the other three. And this was given long shiurim on before. Given many times long shiurim on this subject. Why is it equal to the all three? So the Ral explains. If you divide the person into three sections, so then you'll have what we have just explained. But a man is not three sections. A man is not sectional. A man is not a physical being. He is not someone who has the breath of life in him. He is not an intellectual being. A man with all three combined into one creation. All three together. You cannot dissect the person and make separate sections out of it. But man was all three combined together. The Torah tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and he blew into his nostrils a nefesh chaya. He made man from the ground, and he gave him a life, and he blew into his nostrils a nefesh chaya. And he gave him a neshama, a soul. Then he was known as the Odom. He was called man. And Unkelus, who has his commentary on the Chumash, his commentary, the Gemara says, was Misina, was given at Sinai. So on that posuk, he says, "V'hoya l'ruach mamala." He became a speaker. God created him in perfection. Then he was known as the Madaber, as the speaker. And the sages usually divide the levels of the world into four. They say there are four levels of life in the world. Not exactly life, but four levels. There is the daimon. The world is made up of an element that has no life in it. For example, the earth and the stones. A second level appears, the tzemeach, an element that can grow, but its level of life is still very, very primary. That's anything that grows. Grass, flowers, fruits, the trees. Echai, that's a higher level of life. This is the creatures, animals, birds. And then the fourth level, the most perfect level, this is man. And they refer to man as the Madaber, the speaker. They don't refer to him as man. Or as a higher dimension of life, they refer to him as the speaker. The explanation for this is because when man was given all three of these sections and he was molded into one being, the manifestation of the complete man, perfection of the complete man, was in this shown in the fact that he can speak. It was the fact that he could speak. Keach HaDibur, power of speech, was given only to man. An animal cannot speak. A bird cannot speak. Only man that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to speak. Now if we would analyze, where did the power of speech come from? Where is it related to? Does it come from the physical man? Because in order to speak, you must have a mouth, you must have a tongue. A person without a tongue cannot speak. The answer is no. Because animals have also a mouth and a tongue. They also can't ask you. Does it come from the emotions, from the nefesh order, from the sophisticated machinery, entire nervous system, and life system that of course Baruch Hu placed in man? If a person does not have the physical faculties, even with his nervous system, he won't be able to speak. And if a person mentally is not well, also he will not be able to speak. Does it come from the mental element of man? For the same reasons, we have to reject that. The answer is that it comes from man in his entirety, the Torah tells us. It combines the mental energies, the nervous energies, the physical energies, in order to create this power of speech. And this is something that modern scientists have also come to the same conclusion. If you speak to scientists who deal with the power of speech, they'll tell you they've also had difficulty finding its exact source. But they know one thing, they know it's related to the entire nervous system, because there are many cases of children that could not speak. They used to think it was something physical. Now they see that it's emotional problems. They know that it's related to some of the deepest areas of the brain, because they know if there's a brain problem, it immediately affects the speech. Brain failure affects the speech. And they know that this a person must be physically in shape in order to speak. And they'll tell you that it's all of the parts of man go into this. Scientists who have studied the power of speech, when it comes to understanding man, the entire person comes into his perfection through the Keah Adibu, through the power of speech. This is why he's classified as a Marabu. Now, if he will sin with his Dibu, then he's Magdala Venus Kenegib Gilarashim as Dom Gomezor. If he transgresses with his speech, but then he is transgressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah with every facet of man. That's why the Gemara says it's equal to the other three Averis. All three. So that's the fourth Averis. This is why the four of these garments came to atone for four of these Averis. The Gemara that we quoted said that the avne, the outer cloak, the ephod, the outer cloak, this came to be mechaper, this came to atone for aveiros zara, idolatry. The mikvasayim, the trousers, this came to be mechaper for gilui arayos, incest and adultery. The ksenis, the inner cloak, this came to be mechaper, to atone for Shvi Hazdomim. The relation between this and Shvi Hazdomim is because this is worn right against the body, and therefore it receives the warmth of the body before any other garment. And the warmth of the body, this comes from the dam, the blood. So therefore this is related to the life in the dam, the blood of the body. And then the me'il, the gown that has the bells on it, this brought kapora for Loshon Hara. So these are these four garments which correlate with these four averes. Now we find there are eight garments, not only four, but eight. There are four other averes which are offshoots of these averes. They're not as severe as these averes, but each one is related to these. And which ones are these? One that's mentioned here is that the belt was mechaper al hiru halev. The belt would bring atonement for thoughts that a person was not supposed to have. Hiru halev, this is when a person has thoughts on HaKadosh, on the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the world, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with himself personally. This
is an offshoot of idolatry, of atheism. This is a lack in emunah, a lack in faith in Hashem. Tomim tia im Hashem lekecha. Torah said that you must be perfect, you must be complete in your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol ma de'ovid, rachmona le'tavovid. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for you is for the good. Ein lahayer acher midayisov. Not allowed to have reservations or second thoughts or doubts about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts his business. We can be mispalel, we can pray to Hashem, we can ask Hashem. But whatever a person receives, he's supposed to be complete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and whole. The Gemara says, "V'shem shemavorchin ala tayim, kach mavorchin ala ra." Just like we are obligated to bless Hashem when something good happens to us, we're also obligated to make a brocha when something not good happens to us. Because since it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is the source of goodness, so then the ultimate must be that it's good for us. We might not understand it. It might be difficult for us. And how many times in everyone's life does he see that something happened to him and he was very much disturbed about it and very much resisted it, and later on he sees that it was the best thing that could happen to him? When someone is mahare, hiru halev, he has misgivings, he has reservations, and he has doubts. So the source is in a lack of emunah. He does not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he would have full belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's effort, he has won and encompasses everything in the world, and nothing can happen that cannot come from him, so then he wouldn't have these doubts. So here HaLev, even though it is not actual idolatry, but it is an offshoot of idolatry. And therefore another garment of the Kohen Gadol came to be mechaper, to atone. This was the belt. Since it was worn near the heart, it was mechaper our hero. Another garment was the choshen, the breastplate, choshen ha-mishpat. Choshen ha-mishpat came to be mechaper al adinim, came to give kapora when there was an injustice, or when justice was not executed between man and his fellow man by the Bezdin, by the Botedin. This is related to Shpichas Domin, to murder. Justice is not served through the courts of Israel, then this is linked to Shpichas Domin, to the spilling of blood. Why do we say this? There's two Gemaras that illustrate this. One is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Zayin, where the Gemara says, "Kol dain shenetel momen mizeh v'neisim mizeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him imenu nefashis." That if a judge, through his carelessness or through his negligence, or through his lack of effort to see that the true and just law is executed, award someone money which is not in light with the law, and takes from another person money which is not in light with the law, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Nefoshes ani gevel, I come and I demand life for this. I don't exact the payment of money for this, but I exact the payment of life." And this is what Shlema Melech says. Shlema Melech said King Solomon that when I had to Paskin dinim, when I had to execute law, it was not like by the goyim. By the goyim, I make a mistake. It's Ishkipelech. So if I would make a mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Nefoshes ani gevel, I come to exact life from the judges of Israel." Because HaMishpat, Mishpat l'lekim hu, Mishpat, justice belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if there's an imperfection in the justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is an imperfection in his world, and as far as he's concerned, this is Shvichas Domin, this is the spilling of blood. Another example, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Kuf Yutes, Hagoizel mechaveru shava pruta, ki il goizel es nafshe. When someone, a Jew, takes from a fellow Jew a pruta, even the smallest amount of money, it's as if he is taking his life from him. Why is this? Because every bit of money that was given to an individual, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to him for Panosu. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to him for him to live by. He can buy life with that money. He can buy sustenance with that money. If somebody takes it illegally from him, he is stealing his Panosu, he is stealing the sustenance. Panosu is Chaim. This is life of a person. That's why the Gemara mentions many times that someone who is jaded to say whom they shall have it. The person goes and unjustly, illegally, goes into someone else's business territory, takes away from him illegally his business opportunities, says this is a ritzeah. As far as we're concerned, this is a murderer. Because when you take away someone's panos or someone's money, he'll buy life with that. Now you're taking it from him. So therefore, when there is not justice executed by the Bote Dinim of Yisrael, so this is not the actual shvita yom, it's not actually the spilling of the blood, but it's a talodo, it's an outgrowth of it. And the kapora had to be brought. And the kapora was the cheshem, was the breastplate of justice. Then the third, another aveira which is mentioned, is that the mitznefes, the turban that the kohen gadol wore, this was mechaper al, what is loshen the gemara? Gasi Aruch. Mechaper al Gasi Aruch. Gasi Aruch is a gaiva haughtiness. This is linked with kinderais. This is linked with incest and adultery. How do we know this? The Gemara in Satan. The Gemara says, it's the Gemara in Satan, Dardalit. Nafdalit on the base. The Gemara says that someone who is very haughty and is a Baal Gaiva, the Sefer Nishal Eishas Ish. The eventuality of this person is his downfall will be an act of adultery. Why one is linked with the other, I can't tell you. I don't know. But this is what the Gemara says. So we see that when it came to gaiva, when it came to haughtiness, this was linked with adultery. And therefore the mitznefes, headgear of the Kohen Gadol, this came to be mechaper. This came to atone on the gasi ruach, on the haughtiness of the person. These were three aveiros, which were outgrowths of the original three. Now, one more is mentioned here. And this is that the tzitz is mechaper al azus. Azus ha-mitzach. The tzitz, the plate which was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, this came to be mechaper, atone for azus ha-mitzach. Audacity, brazenness, lack of reserve. This is an outgrowth of the fourth aveira that we mentioned, of Loshon Hara. Why? The Gemara in Erechim tells us and our test vote. The Gemara says, "Kol milsid misamre ba'apim mora lezbe mishul lishna bishna." If somebody says usually Loshon Hara is when the victim is not present. Reuven tells Shimon something about Levi. What happens if Reuven tells Shimon something about Levi, and Levi's present, the victim is present? So first the Gemara wants to say that that's not considered Loshon Hara. Lashon Hara is being a maragel, when you tell someone about someone else, not in his presence. So that's not Lashon Hara. Omale Abaya, Abaya said, Kolshkin the Ika Chutzpah, Vilish Nebisha. Abaya says, it's both. It's Lashon Hara, and it's Chutzpah. It's a brazenness. If you insult someone, you tell something bad about a person right in his presence. So whether it's actually Lashon Hara or not, this is a question in the Gemara. Lashon Hara is even in the victim's presence, or only not in the victim's presence. But we see that it's possibly Lashon Hara, and according to everyone, it's a chutzpah, it's brazenness. So we see that brazenness is a talodo, it's linked with Lashon Hara. Therefore, the tzitz which was worn on the forehead, this came to be mechaper, this came to give forgiveness for before Tameira, the offshoot of Lashon Hara. So we have eight Haveras and eight Pagodas. Each garment came to atone for one particular Havera. Three basic Haveras, and these were the three cardinal sins of the Torah. Each one correlates to one section of the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And then a fourth Havera, which correlates to the Kol Ha'odah, to the man in his entirety. And each garment atoned for one, and the Me'il atoned for the Lashon Hara, the fourth. Then there were an additional four garments which atoned for the other four Averas. Offshoots of each of the first four. Why is it that the Kohen Gadol, by wearing these garments, why would we bring a kapora? We brought sources that this was not merely something which was nice, the reason why the Kohen would wear this. Or it was merely a uniform. But we see it was an integral part of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. And we see further that if he did the Avodah would not be kosher, would not be acceptable without these garments. And he was even punished for it. And we see even further that if they were atonement just like the Korbonis themselves. It says, Ma Korbonis Mechaprim, just like the sacrifices themselves brought atonement. Ah, Big Deham, so the Begodim also were brought atonement. But why is it that by wearing these Begodim, atonement would be brought to Klal Yisrael? The answer is a very deep answer. This was called the Kovod El Tiferes. The Torah tells us that the Kohen should wear them because they are an honor and a beauty. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted honor and beauty for the Beis HaMikdash. We see that everything that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash was with great honor and great beauty and great dignity and great wealth. We mentioned in last week's shir, gold. Gold was created. Really, gold was too worthy for the world, except that Kodesh Baruch Hu created it for the sake of Mishkan. So forth. But there was another reason why the Almighty commanded that the Kohen Gadol should wear this for honor and beauty. The Kohen Gadol and all of the Kahan were shluchim for Klal Yisrael. They were emissaries for Yisrael. Whatever they did as emissaries for Yisrael. And the Sforim explain that all of Israel is like one person. Just like the body is made up of many, many parts. Each division can be subdivided and subdivided and subdivided. And each part is an individual in its own right. At the same time, it works together as one unit. And it must work together as one unit. Every muscle and every nerve and every organ can work as an individual but must be unified together with the entire body. So is it with Klal Yisrael. Every person is an individual, every soul is an individual. Kishem, she'em, patsufin daimin zelazer, kach nishmasehen in daimin zelazer, just like no two people look alike. So is it that there are no two souls that are alive. So everyone has his own individual path to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Still, Klal Yisrael is effort. It's am effort. one nation. And it's all, every individual is part of the unity. So when the Kohen Gadol would go and serve for Klal Yisrael, he was serving as an actual emissary and as an actual part of Israel. And when he would do something, in reality it would affect all of Israel. Just like if one part of the body would do something. So this is felt throughout the system of the entire body. So when an individual does something, this is part of Kol Yisrael. And in particular, when the Kohen would do something, who was the official emissary of Israel. And if he would serve in the Beis HaMikdash, this means all of Israel were serving in the Beis HaMikdash. If he would bring a sacrifice, all of Israel were bringing a sacrifice. If he would adorn the garments, all of Israel were adorning the garments. In many places in the Torah and in the Novi, the averus that a person commits, these are referred to as garments. For example, we have Psukim and Novi where it says, shake off your impure garments. Take off your garments that have become blemished. And put on clean garments. We have many such illustrations when it comes to Yom Kippur. The garments of Israel will be cleansed. Blemishes, imperfections will be purified. When a person commits an Aveira, the Aveira surrounds him. The Aveira becomes a part of him, like a garment. When he fulfills a mitzvah, or he has midas teves, good qualities, this also becomes a garment. Just like the garment is for the body, so is the body for the soul. And these acts become garments. Also in Mishle, that a person should see all the time that al-yechsar shemen reishecho, that there should not be oil lacking from your head and your clothing from your body. This Pasuk is referring, brings an example that a king told his servants that one day I'm going to invite you to a great banquet. So those who were very careful and faithful servants, they started to make preparations immediately. The others said, can be a long time, we've got plenty of time. All of a sudden, the king invited them. Some were ready, they were all prepared. They had their garments, they had their clothing. The others were not prepared. They had to come to the banquet, not in proper dress. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech said, that make sure always that your head is adorned in oil and that you have your garments are cleaned and pressed. The Gemara says he's referring to the mitzvahs. He's referring to the mitzvahs essays, the positive commandments and the leisasses and the negative commandments. Because when a person has a mitzvah, it becomes an anointment on him. When he does an aveira, so it blemishes his clothing. Just as clothing is covered, is honor for the person. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan referred all the time, he said, I never called my clothing clothing. I called it my honor, because clothing honors the man. So is the body the honor for the neshama of the person. Therefore, when there is when there are avedas in Yisrael, this becomes like clothing for Yisrael that are unclean and full of blemishes. And the Kohen Gadol was commanded to go into the Beis HaMikdash and to put on these 8 begodim. And the Torah said, Lekoved ultiferes, that it should be for an honor and for a beauty. And this is more than a physical honor and a physical beauty, but a spiritual honor and a spiritual beauty. Firstly, all of Israel were putting on this clothing. Because all of Israel is one unit. There cannot be any act in one part of Israel without ripples being felt in the other part. And especially if it's the Kohen Gadol, who was the greatest of all of the Kohanim, and the official emissary of Klal Yisrael. So all of Israel will adorn this. And these clothing, these garments, would bring kovod and tiferes, it would bring honor and beauty. It would cleanse and replace the garments that had come through Aveiros. So this gives us a little greater insight as to why the Gemara says that Kishem Shekobanaseyan Mechapin, just like the sacrifices brought atonement to Yisrael, the godin, the clothing, also brought sacrifices to Yisrael. Just one final word. And that is what we were referring to as Loshon Hara. So the Gemara says that there, when it came to Loshon Hara, which was spoken out loud, the belt of the gown brought kapora. When it came to the Loshon Hara, that a person would speak very secretly, so this, the ketores, the incense, would bring kapora. Mahal writes that the gown that had the bells on it, as we read, they were surrounded by many bells and many pomegranates. There were golden bells, there were actual bells, they would ring as a bell. And then there were pomegranates, balls made out of different materials in the shape of a pomegranate. So why was one a bell and one a pomegranate? A bell is something that gives off a sound. It has a mouth that can speak. A pomegranate is a fruit that has no mouth. It has no opening. There's a time that a person must be silent. There's a time that a person must speak. We don't believe that silence is golden all of the time, because we just said that the greatest attribute of a person is the fact is that he's a speaker, he's a madaber. However, we don't believe that a person should always talk. Bereiv, dibor, through much talk, a person will fall into avera. When it comes to mitzvahs, comes to divrei Torah, comes to chesed, to kindliness, to make someone feel good with your speech, then you must speak. This was the symbol of the bell, which would always make noise. When it comes to areas which is not, you're not accomplishing anything with your speech. Not accomplishing anything with it. It's just idle talk. Then, le'motzosi teiv leguf mishtiko. Sech Torah, someone said, kol yomai godalti ben achachomim, all of my days I grew up between the wise, and I found that the best thing is shtiko. This was the pomegranate. But there's a time, eis ledaber, a time a person must talk. At a time they must be silent. They said in the Chofetz Chaim, Zochanei Brocha, Chofetz Chaim was a person who gave his life to try to bring to the people the seriousness of the offense of Loshon Hara. And he wrote Sforim, he wrote letters, he spoke Shulchan Aruch and so forth. They used to say that when you would meet the Chofetz Chaim, you would think he was a person who never spoke. They found just to the contrary. That when they would come together with him, he would be the top conversationalist. He would talk more than anyone else. If it was mitzvah, if it was chesed, if he could do something with his speech, the person is not allowed to remain silent. This is the greatest attribute of the person. It was when it was an aveira. This is when a person must be silent. On Yom HaKippurim, then the incense went into the most deepest parts of the Beis HaMikdash. And this, the Gemara says, was a kapora for all of the Loshon Hara, even the most secretive Loshon Hara. Because the most
subtle indications of Loshon Hara. This the Gemara calls Havat Loshon Hara. This is difficult for a person to guard against. But on Yom Kippur, then an atonement even for that king. This gives us somewhat of an insight into this difficult parsha, which deals with the big day kahuna. There's much to speak on. Each beged, you see, each garment, the Torah gives so much details for it. And there was so many spiritual secrets that went into the making of each garment. But this gives us an insight in a few principles. As to what garments are, there are physical garments and there are spiritual garments. And like everything in the base of English, this was the combination of the physical and the spiritual world. Like we spoke about last week. It also teaches us what the Kohen Godel was, how he was related to Klal Yisrael. And in this mitzvah that Yehud Godim should be made for him, Lekoved Ultiferes. We should all be zecher to have the kapor from the Kohen, from the Big Day Kahanim, and we should see the rebuilding of the base of English, the core of the name.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.